Just a few hours from now, we will bring in the brand new year, 2025. Let's make it a good one, shall we? Let's just let the Lord use us in every way that God can. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, reading only these two verses out loud with me, please, everyone now. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Tonight I want to bring a short Bible study that is extremely pertinent, simply entitled, Windshields and Rearview Mirrors. Windshields and Rearview Mirrors. Father, help us now to have understanding. Dear Holy Spirit, give us application. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Well, here we are at the end of 2024. It's our last service, our final fellowship, and our last sermon, our last Bible study for the year. And that is as a group, as a called out and assembled group of Christians. And so it has been some kind of a year, hasn't it? We look back over the year. We've counted blessings. The testimonies tonight were sweet, and I appreciated them so very, very much. I hung on literally to every word that was spoken, and I'm glad to hear those things. To recount all that has come our way would be actually certainly take longer than any of the time that we have left. So we're not going to do that. But here in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, offers some sound advice for anyone's future well-being, literally for anyone's future well-being. It is appropriate because all of us are about to enter into the brand new year. In just a few hours, it's almost 8 o'clock now, and just about 4 hours or so, it's going to be 2025. So if we could have planned 2024, it most certainly would not have ended the way that it did. We would have planned a lot of things differently, I think. I know that I would have, because there's some things that we, like I preached on Sunday, we just simply don't have control over every circumstance in our life. We would have planned not to have any hurts. We would have planned to not have any disappointments. We would not have planned to have failures. We would not have planned to have losses. We would not have planned to have mistakes that we made. Sometimes they were because we miscalculated. Sometimes it sneaked up on us, but making mistakes is part of the human makeup. We would not have planned to have misunderstandings. We would not have planned to have negative news from the doctor. We would not have planned to have bad news at all. You see, that's what if we would have planned it, we would have written things out differently. It's sort of like many of us do, where we write out a schedule for every day, and we want to try to follow that. And I was noticing on my schedule of things that I had to accomplish today, I finally checked off the last one shortly before the service and got it all done on my schedule for today, and I'm glad that I did. And there are innumerable things that would not have been planned for. I think all of us agree with that. There's so many things. I didn't mention everything, but the truth is, you could make your own list, and you could come up with things that you didn't plan for this year, but they happened anyway. And so they did happen, and those things we did not plan on seem to be the very things that get our attention, and we want to give those things our attention. So what do we have to do? What does all this have to do with a windshield? What in the world does it have to do with a rearview mirror? I mean, surely those things can't be a part of this message. Well, listen very carefully, because here's an application before we look at the Bible study. Windshields are larger than rearview mirrors. How many knew that already? Windshields are larger than rearview mirrors. There is a reason your windshield is only about 5 feet wide. I looked up how wide the windshield is on my car. It's 4.685 feet or something like that from one side to the other. And your rearview mirror, though, literally is only about a foot wide. That's the statistic. Now, we need to spend more time looking ahead than we do looking back. And this is where we make our mistake. We look back far too much rather than looking forward. And sometimes what we see behind us or in our past or what happened in 2024 blinds us to what we ought to be looking at in 2025. So therefore, windshields and rearview mirrors. Again, the windshield is larger than a rearview mirror, teaching us that we need to look forward more than we need to look back. So what do we have to learn here in Philippians chapter 3? I have three simple points, a little bit of application, but I believe the Spirit of God can give us what we need, because the Apostle Paul actually could have named this part of his study in the book of Philippians windshields and rearview mirrors if they would have had cars back then. I don't think chariots had windshields, and I don't think they had rearview mirrors. I don't know. Number one, if you're writing things down, forgetting is important. Philippians 3 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul wrote and said, forgetting those things which are behind. That's in the rearview mirror. That's not in the windshield. One of the things all of us struggle with is focusing on things that are in the past. That's where our focus stays so often. A person will bring that memory back. An instance will bring that memory back. All kinds of things. I received a notice from Kia today that my 2014 Optima has a recall on it. I wrote them back and said, that car is demolished. It's gone now. But it brought back the memory of that car and how we got into an automobile accident in New Mexico in Albuquerque, how Robin got hurt and how that car was totaled and all that. It brought back those memories. I was going through some photos in our church Facebook page, and there were pictures of that car. Me sitting in it, and I remember what Robin said. She said, you're going to love this car because of all the gadgets that are in it, all the electronics that are in it. And I looked at those pictures, and there was my car, and I remembered that accident. And I remember how nobody came for 2 hours, and the police forgot about us and all the rest of it. And the guy got away with the hit and run that destroyed our car and hurt my wife. Didn't make me sad, but I did focus on the past for a while. You see, the hurts and the disappointments and the failures and the losses and the mistakes and the misunderstandings that are in the rearview mirror, we tend to focus on those things. We tend to, because they're drawing our attention, because they meet with us every single day of our lives. And we think on those things, which is the exact opposite of what the Apostle Paul told us to think on. And I'll give you the list again, and it's not an exhaustive list. Hurts and disappointments and failures and losses and mistakes and misunderstandings and negative news from the doctor and bad news in general. We focus on those things is what we do. Paul simply said that he was not going to live in the past. Doesn't that make sense? He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, some of those things were good. For him, he had a great education. He was taught by Gamaliel, one of the most impressive, smartest, intelligent scholars of that day, taught the Apostle Paul. But he also had a lot of self-righteousness, none of which would save him. He had all these successes in his past, but he needed to put those behind him. He also had the negative things in his past as well. But he said, forgetting those things. So, number one, forgetting is good. Number two, reaching forth is important. Again, if you'll look at verse 13, he simply says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. We have a brand new year ahead of us. Lord willing, we're all going to make it to the end of the year. Nobody can tell. Nobody knows, because none of our lives are guaranteed for the next breath. That's just life the way that it is. What is our life? It is like a vapor that appears for just a short time and then it just vanishes away. It's all gone. But I'm hoping by the end of 2025, all of us are going to be together. We're going to be alive and well and serving and sharing testimonies. But you know, we can't guarantee that. But let me ask you this for 2025. I'm not one who says you ought to make New Year's resolutions. I mentioned this on Sunday. They last till about March. And they don't last very long. Sometimes they last for a long time. And sometimes the entire year is better because you've kept your resolutions. But I'm not one that says you ought to make that. But here's what I do believe. You ought to have some goals, personally. You ought to have plans for 2025. Let me ask you this. Do you have any spiritual plans for the new year? What you plan to do, do better, do more of. What are your spiritual plans? And because all of us ought to be growing, I've said this before, but if you're not growing, you're going backwards. And if you're sitting in your stale, you're going backwards. That's called backsliddenness. That's not what we want to do by the end of 2025. We want to be more of what we were saved to become. Do you have any goals in that way? It is my prayer that every one of us will reach forth and look ahead through that windshield, not looking in the rearview mirror and being depressed and discouraged by what you see in the rearview mirror, but looking forward out of that front windshield, counting your blessings and growing in the Lord. There ought to be some personal goals that you're going to make for this year, or maybe just one. Maybe there's a weak place in your life. Maybe there's something in your heart. Maybe there's something in your mind where you say, I need to shore that up. Make it a goal to do what it takes to fix that. Which brings me to point number three. First of all, I said that forgetting is important. I said, secondly, reaching forth, looking forward, those goals, looking to what you're going to do, planning to do. Reaching forth is important, but thirdly, pressing on is important. Look at verse 14. The Apostle Paul writes here, and he says this phrase, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not enough, and I want to emphasize this, it's not enough to not live in the past, though we shouldn't live in the past. I've mentioned before, past is a good place to visit on occasion, but it's not where you're supposed to live. So it's not enough not to live in the past, and it's not enough just to say, this is what I want to see in the new year. It's not enough. We also have to press on toward the mark. He mentions three things. Don't look back, look forward. He says, make those plans, but he says, now you've got to have a plan. You got to have something that you're going to do to fix the things that need to be fixed, strengthen the things that have weakened, or all it might be, and we say, look at the past, but leave it in the past. Look at the past. Sure, it's there. We've all got past, but leave it there. We sing the song, leave your heavy burden at the cross, leave it at the cross, and go free, and sinner go free. Look at the past, but leave it there. Quit dragging it into the now and the future. You see, learn from your mistakes. Decide you're not going to repeat the same mistakes that you did before. That's pressing on. That's making that decision. That's not talking about it only. That is saying, I'm going to do something about it. Look ahead and make some plans. In other words, have some goals, whatever it might be. And I'm not talking about resolutions. I'm talking about look what needs to be done and do something about it. Press on, meaning how am I going to get there? How am I going to get there? A lot of people have answers for problems. Okay, you got a problem here and you've got the answer here. How many people do you know that have a solution that takes you from the problem to the answer? That's what we're talking about here. A game plan to go from problem to answer. Problem to answer. And that's simply called a solution. And that's where you work on it. Work at it. Somebody says, my car in particular, it uses oil. And it's the engine in my car. It's nothing wrong with the engine. That's just the way it is. And for the last couple of days, I thought to myself, you know, it sounds like I maybe need to check the oil. Pull that stick and check the oil. Well, this morning before I pulled out of my garage, I opened up my hood. And I took the oil stick out, and I looked at it, and I was a little bit more than a quart low. I went over to the shelf. Now, the problem was it was low, you see? But the solution or the answer was more oil. What was the solution? Walk around my car, walk around Robin's car, get up to a shelf, take a quart of oil off the shelf, walk around Robin's car, walk past my mirrors, go to the front of my car, and pour the oil in the engine. That was the solution. To go from problem to answer, you got to have a solution. And so many people are missing that. How am I going to see done what I want to get done in my life in the coming year? Yeah, some things have to wait. Sure, it's not all going to happen overnight, okay? Don't get discouraged over things not happening overnight, because they're not going to happen overnight. But step at a time. Most of us are plodders, and we need to keep it that way, where we plod one, just put one foot in front of the other one and constantly going forward and not going back. And so this year does not have to be a repeat of 2024. 2025 can be different. Of course, repeat the good, but avoid the things that you had never planned on. If you can, you know, listen, there are so many today, a problem will come, they think they're ready for it, but they lose it. They don't have any confidence in God or themselves or anything else. Just remember, you don't have to be that way this year. You can have that trust in the Lord. And truthfully, the best is yet to come. And that is what the great Apostle Paul was saying while he was in prison. He was not sitting in a grand auditorium waiting to be called up to preach one time. He was sitting or standing in a prison, and he simply said, press on. Forget the things of the past. Work on the things that need to be, have some goals of what you want to do. And then the apostle said, I'm pressing on, while he was in prison. We got to remember this. Windshields are larger than rearview mirrors. You say, but Pastor, you said that earlier in the message, didn't you? Yep. And I want to remind us that the windshield on your car is much bigger than the rearview mirror in your car. On my car, it's almost 5 feet across as far as the windshield goes. But that little mirror that hangs in between Robin and me, that's up on the header, is literally 12 inches wide. The windshield is larger than the mirror. And there is a reason the windshield is almost 5 feet wide and your rearview mirror is only a foot wide. Why? Because we need to spend more time looking ahead than we do looking back. Let's not allow looking back to hold us back for this year. This is not a keep a positive attitude kind of a power of positive thinking thing. This is the advice that the Apostle Paul gave. Let me just read these to you one more time. Number one, he said, forget those things which are behind. Secondly, he said, reach forth unto those things which are before. And lastly, he said, I press toward the mark. That's good biblical advice. Just looking at it. It's not the power of positive thinking or whatever it might be. As one man said, the Norman Vincent Peale's book on the power of positive thinking, they said Paul was appealing while Peale was appalling. And I think that was probably a good thing to say. But we need to stay focused. And as we enter into this new year, I don't know what you're going to do tonight at midnight. Some of you are probably going to be in bed. I'm going to just stay awake, I think, and just greet the new year, bring it on in. But whatever you do, plan for this year not to be a repeat of last year.